My dear friends, today is the Sunday within the octave of the Sacred Heart. The epistle for the Sunday within the octave of the Sacred Heart is taken from St. Peter's first epistle, the fifth chapter. Dearly beloved, be you humbled under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the name of the visitation, casting all your care upon him, for he hath care of you. Be sober and watch, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist you strong in faith, knowing that the same affliction befalls your brethren who are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little, will himself perfect you and confirm you and establish you. To him be glory and empire forever and ever. Amen. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 15th chapter. At that time, the publicans and the sinners drew near to Jesus to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spoke to them this parable, saying, What man is there of you that hath 100 sheep? And if he shall lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the desert, and go after that which was lost, until he find it. And when he hath found it, he laid upon his shoulders rejoicing, and coming home called together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, because I have found my sheep that was lost. I say to you that even so there shall be joy in heaven upon one sinner that doth penance, more than upon 99 just who need not penance. Or what woman having 10 groats, if she lose one groat, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth together her neighbors and friends, saying, Rejoice with me, because I have found the groat which I had lost. So I say to you, there shall be joy before the angels of God upon one sinner doing penance. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep that was lost. Rejoice with me, for I have found the groat which was lost. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, some years ago, I was speaking with a parishioner in one of our other chapels, and he told me about an experience that he had. You see, for some years, he had lived in an area of the country where charity was very cool, if not outright cold. So he was accustomed to going about his daily life, minding his own business, as it were, paying little or no attention to the world around him. For it was at first that he had learned in this area some hard lessons from experience, that if you began to strike up a conversation or to interact with others, it usually meant that they were going to take an advantage of you or even pick your pocket. So after living in this environment, he returned to his home after some time, which was in a much more congenial and charitable part of the country. But some weeks after going back home, still having that idea of second-guessing everyone and keeping to oneself, he became apprehensive one winter's day when he thought that he noticed someone was following him as he left his car. It was starting to snow heavily, and so he made his way to his office, which was about 6 blocks away in the city. For about the first 2 blocks, he noticed that this man was following him, so he quickened his pace to a rather fast walk. As he covered the next 2 blocks, he noticed the man also picked up his pace. And so for the last block and a half, although the snow was getting heavier and drifting higher, he was in an open run to make sure he got to his office in safety. His only concern was to get there and to make himself free from this man who was chasing him. But he noticed that as he began to run, so did the other man. Upon entering the lobby of the office building, he swung around and the man was right behind him. And he grabbed him by the lapels and bellowed out through the lobby, demanding to know why this man was running after him. Well, in a state of confusion, the poor man behind him, who is now facing him face to face, said, "I'm sorry to scare you, buddy, but you dropped the keys to your Corvette right outside the parking garage. And I didn't want to scream that out and let everyone know that there was a Corvette up for grabs. That's why I followed you, or else I would have yelled out sooner." Well, imagine the confusion then that came over this man. To remember that he was back home where people cared for one another. And far from being a criminal, this man who he was holding at arm's length was actually a good Samaritan. This man had in his hands the keys to a beautiful Corvette, and he could have taken it himself and not even followed the man those 6 blocks. But he did the right thing and returned the keys to their rightful owner. And just as this good Samaritan went what we might call above and beyond the call of duty in charity, so too during this octave of the Sacred Heart do we remind ourselves that the Sacred Heart of Jesus always goes above and beyond the charity to show it to us and to help us to save our souls. Although our Lord made very clear to St. Margaret Mary in the great Sacred Heart apparitions how much he loves us and how much he will go above and beyond to show his love for us and to give us the graces we need to save our souls, our Lord first mentioned this many times in his own life, and especially in today's Gospel. In the Gospel, the Pharisees had objected to our Lord eating with sinners. It was then that our Lord made it very clear just how much solicitude he has in his heart for his erring children. Our Lord told them a parable about a woman searching the entire house for a groat. Now, a groat was a very, very small sum of money. Some time ago, it was calculated out to be worth about 4 cents, less than the price of a nickel. But nevertheless, even though this woman had 10 other groats, she still swept the house, cleaned everything, and looked for that one groat which was lost. When we first read this parable, we might think to ourselves, I don't know anyone who would clean their entire house and move everything in search for a nickel. But what our Lord was trying to show us was how much he will go through and what he will do to help one sinner who is lost to him. Our Lord also told about the shepherd who goes looking for the sheep. And it might not be easy to understand a farmer risking his life, his health, and everything, including his 99 sheep that he leaves unattended, to go look for that one lost sheep. But that was just the point that our Lord wanted to bring home, that for even one soul, he will go through anything that it takes to gain the graces that that soul needs, which he gained, of course, on Good Friday, and to apply those graces to that soul, to help that soul be saved for all eternity. In our lives, we might not put all of our resources into one small nickel. We might not go through extreme fatigue and difficulties to look for 1/10 of our possessions, especially if the other 9/10 are doing perfectly fine. But our Lord, even though he is perfectly happy in heaven, even though at this very moment he has the entire heavenly court adoring him day and night, he is with his Blessed Mother, surrounded by the saints who honor and adore him perpetually. We might say that he is perfectly content with all that he has in heaven. And yet, by the parables that he told us in today's Gospel, he wants us to know that he is not yet content. That if there are wayward souls out there, if there are souls that are not part of his one flock, he will do everything he can to bring them back to the state of sanctifying grace. And how consoling this must be for us, that no matter how badly we might have offended him in the past, or no matter how far a friend or family member may be from true conversion, we must never give up hope. On our part, we must strive to be sorry, contrite for our sins that we have committed, ask our Lord for pardon for any way in which we may have offended him by sin. And then for our loved ones, if they are in error or if they have strayed away from the Good Shepherd themselves, we must picture in our minds and keep in our hearts that image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, walking through the brambles, the steep cliffs, the snares of this world, looking for his lost sheep. You know, my dear friends, in this entire area of the Gospel of St. Luke, the chapters before and the chapters after, they all kind of come together to give us this hope in eternal salvation for ourselves and for others. By that I mean, if you have an opportunity later on today or later in the week to open your Bible and to go through the few surrounding chapters of today's Gospel, you'll notice that just before our Lord told this consoling part about him looking for the lost souls, he had to tell his followers and his disciples some very strong and hard things for them to take. He told them in the 14th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel that they would have to be humble. They'd have to daily carry their crosses and be the salt of the earth, the good example for others. He told them how the chosen people who were first called to the joys of heaven would not enter in because of their worldly attachments. And he warned his disciples to be free from attachment to things of this world if they hope to gain eternal salvation. That is why, after telling them these difficult things, he let them know that he would always be there for them. It would be very hard for his naturally proud Hebrew audience to take to heart the lessons of meekness and humility that he was teaching them. But by telling them the parable of the woman with the groat, by telling them the parable of the shepherd going to look for the lost sheep, he was saying, in other words, I will always be here for you. Through thick and thin, I will be there to help you. And that is why he told these parables that we read in today's Gospel, so that we would know that for ourselves and for our loved ones, we would never be abandoned, especially if we strove to do his holy will. Even if in the grand scheme of things, one groat or one curious lamb does not seem too much in our eyes, each soul is infinite in the eyes of God. And so he gives his graces and his infinite tenderness to bring each soul back to him. Just as that stranger followed the parishioner through snow, wind, and packed sidewalks over a distance of 6 blocks, so will the Sacred Heart never falter until his goal is accomplished. If this total stranger had enough charity in his heart to follow a man who was running away from him and who he could have easily given up and just left the keys or done whatever else with them, how much more will the Sacred Heart endure and go through for the salvation of souls, even if for a time they are running from him? After our Lord told these parables, my dear friends, in the next part of St. Luke's Gospel, he reminded his followers and his disciples also of how much he will do for them, especially if they are in error, by finishing this entire teaching part with the prodigal son parable. Our Lord told them that the prodigal son would go away from his good father, would go off and in many ways offend his good father, but yet, what do we hear at the end of that parable? It is not that the prodigal son sneaked back into the house or came back in and was severely punished. But what do we hear? We hear that it was the father himself who was on the roof, looking out, as it were, waiting for any sign of his wayward boy. And so the Sacred Heart ties up this entire teaching part of his gospel, as it were, First, by telling his disciples, and for us, of course, too, that there will be hard things we have to do in order to save our souls and save the souls of our loved ones. Then he tells us what he will do to go through and what he will sacrifice himself so that our souls might be saved. And then finally, he tells us that when we are returned to him, when our souls are in the state of sanctifying grace, and we have come back to the Good Shepherd or to our good Father like the prodigal son, that he will do everything he can to show us how grateful and thankful he is to have our soul once more united to him. So then, no matter what happens in our lives or the lives of others, let us have that supreme confidence in the Sacred Heart of Jesus, whose feast we celebrate on Friday and whose octave we will celebrate throughout this week. He does his part to do all he can to help us save our souls. Let us do our part so that we may all one day rejoice with him forever in heaven. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.